Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. I heard a story that relates to our topic about a man who was sentenced to death, who obtained a reprieve by assuring the king that he would teach His Majesty's horse to fly within the year, on the condition that if he didn't succeed, he would be put to death at that time. The man explained his reasoning. Within a year, he said, the king may die, or I may die, or the horse may die, or who knows? Maybe within a year, the horse will learn to fly. So our subject today is living with expectation. Some people don't realize, but they're always going around looking for the next disaster, looking for the next failure, looking for the next bad break. Our message today is maybe some of us should change what it is that we're looking for. Start looking for goodness, mercy, favor, increase, and promotion. That's what should be following you around. One definition of hope is, quote, happy anticipation of something good. If you're anticipating something good, it's going to bring you joy. It'll give you enthusiasm. When you're expecting your dreams to come to pass, you'll go out each day with a spring in your step. But if you're not anticipating anything good, then you'll just drag through life with no passion whatsoever. A young man recently told me, I don't want to expect too much. That way, if it doesn't happen, I won't go to bed all disappointed. That's no way to live. If you're not expecting increase, promotion, or good breaks, then you're not releasing your faith. Faith is what causes God to come in and act in our lives. If you expect a break and it doesn't happen, you're not going to go to bed disappointed. You're going to go to bed knowing that you're one day closer to seeing that break come to pass. Then you're going to get up the next morning and do it all over again. Winners, and I'm looking at winners now, develop the quality of expecting good things. You can't be neutral and expect to reach your full potential or have God's best. It's not enough just not to expect anything bad. You have to aggressively expect good things. Just like a son can aggressively claim the inheritance, the property of his father, because he's entitled to it. My question today is, are you expecting your dreams to come to pass? Do you expect that this year will be better than last year? Are you expecting to live a long, blessed, happy, healthy, fulfilled life? Pay attention to what you're expecting. Maybe you have a desire to get married. Now you can't go around thinking, I'll never meet anyone. It's been too long. I'm too old. Instead, you have to expect to be at the right place at the right time and meet the right person. Believe that that divine connection will come across your path. Believe that at the right time, the right person will be attracted to you. Well, Taru, what if I do that and nothing happens? How about if I turn it around and say, what if you do that and something happens? I can tell you this, that nothing will happen if you don't believe. The psalmist said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. In the past, you may have had disappointments, setbacks following you around. But you need to let go of what didn't work out. Let go of every mistake. Let go of every failure. Expect goodness and mercy to follow you wherever you go. It'd be good, don't you think, to look back over your shoulder and say, hey, goodness, hey, mercy, how are you guys doing back there? Our hopes are going to set the limits for our lives. If you hope for little, then you're going to receive little. If you don't anticipate things to get better, then they won't. But if you expect more favor, more good breaks, a promotion, increase, then you'll see new levels of favor and success in your life. Every morning when you wake up, you should declare, something good is going to happen to me today. Every morning, be like the child on Christmas morning who can't wait to get downstairs and see what gifts are laid up for them underneath the tree. And then all through the day, continue that attitude of expectancy. We should be anticipating the next great thing that's going to happen. Not passively, but actively expecting. Too many people drag around thinking nothing good ever happens to me. Instead, start looking for the good breaks. Expect to be at the right place at the right time. Expect your dreams to come to pass. Expect to be a winner. In our scripture called the Nectar Devotion, chapter 10, Prabhupada, our guru, writes, When impediments arise, one should simply think of Krishna or God and expect his mercy. That is the only solace. If the devotee passes his days in that spirit, it is certain that he is going to be promoted to the abode of the Lord. By such activities, he earns his claim to enter into the kingdom of God. The exact word in this connection is called Daya Bak. Daya Bak refers to a son's becoming the lawful inheritor of the property of the father. In a similar way, a pure devotee who is prepared to undergo all kinds of tribulations in executing Krishna conscious duties becomes lawfully qualified to enter into the transcendental abode. What does this mean to us? It means don't walk into a room and expect people not to like you. Don't go to the store believing that you're not going to find what you're looking for. Don't interview for a job assuming that you're not going to get it. Your expectation is your faith at work. When you expect good breaks, when you expect people to like you, when you expect to have a good year, then you're releasing your faith. That's what allows good things to happen. Now, this works in two directions. If you get up in the morning and expect it to be a lousy day, and you expect there to be no breaks, and you expect to be people to be unfriendly, then you're going to draw that in and attract that to you. That's also your faith working, but the problem is you're using it in a different direction. Research has found that your mind will naturally gravitate towards the negative. One study discovered that positive and negative memories are handled by different parts of the brain. A negative memory takes up more space because there's more to process. The result is that you remember negative events more than positive events. This same study said that a person will remember losing $50 more than he'll remember finding $50. The negative effect has a greater impact, carrying more weight than the positive. I've experienced this myself. For a while, we had visitor response cards. Among other things, people could check their reaction to the lecture on a scale of 1 to 5, and they could comment upon it. So I would go through these cards, and there might be 20 excellent 5 stars, great comments, but if I came to one complaint or one negative remark, well, Charu, that talk didn't get to me. It didn't mean anything to me. I'm not sure what you were trying to get at. I would carry that around. That negative comment would be all I'd think about for 1 or 2 days, overlooking the 10 or 20 positive comments. Well, that's just human nature. That's how negative memories are stored in our brain. The bad takes up more space than the good. Knowing this, we need to be proactive. When negative memories come to the movie screen of your mind, don't pull up an easy chair, get a big gulp and some popcorn, and prepare to watch it all over again. They hurt me a week ago, a month ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. That was so wrong. That might have been wrong at the time, but what's even much more wrong is that you're still allowing that to hurt you today. That's not them, that's you. Remember this. That's not the only movie available. There's another channel which is not playing back your defeats, your failures, or your disappointments. This channel features your victories, your accomplishments, and the things you did right. The good memory channel plays back the times that you were promoted, time you met the right person, you bought a great house, you established that temple when your children were healthy and happy. Instead of focusing on the negative channel, switch over to the victory channel. You'll not move forward into better days if you're always replaying the negative things that have happened to you. We have a story from scripture of a 5-year-old prince who tried to crawl up on the lap of his father, who was the king. His stepmother said, "Dhruva, you cannot expect your father's favor. I have more favor in your father's eyes than your mother, and so even though normally you could expect to be the king when your father retires, we are going to promote your stepbrother over you." Now here was a 5-year-old boy being told by his stepmother that he could not claim his ascendancy to the throne, as was his birthright, and the father was not contradicting his stepmother because she was younger and better looking than Dhruva's mother. What chance did he have in the natural to expect good things? He wasn't counting on the natural to stabilize and resolve the matter. He referred to God, worshiped God, and God eventually brought him into favor and established him where he had every right to be established. Normally, he would have had no reason for expectation, but his habit was he hoped against hope. And Prabhupada says here, the example of Dhruva Maharaj indicates that every Krishna conscious person, no matter how much is arranged against him, can still expect to achieve the topmost success at the end of the day. A Krishna conscious person, by the grace of God the Almighty, can come to occupy any exalted position beyond the imagination of his opponents. And we all make mistakes. We all do things that we wish we'd done differently. You can and you should learn from your mistakes, but one thing that you're not supposed to do is keep replaying them. Keep your mistakes in the forefront of your mind. You're supposed to remember the things that you did right, the times that you succeeded, the times that you overcame the temptation, the times that you were kind to strangers. Some people are not happy because they replay in their mind every mistake they've made since 1972. They've got a running list and they go over it on a regular basis. Do yourself a favor and change the channel. Quit dwelling on how you don't measure up, how you just should have been more disciplined, you should have stayed in school, you should have spent more time with your family. You may have fallen down, but focus on the fact that you got back up. You're here today, that was a good choice, and there's a reason that you're here today, because you're meant to hear this message. We have made bad choices in the past, but we're not meant to dwell on them. We're meant to dwell on our good choices. We have weaknesses, but we're not meant to dwell on our weaknesses. We're meant to remember our strengths. Quit focusing on what's wrong with you and start focusing on what's right with you. You won't ever become everything that you've been created to be if you're against yourself. You have to retrain your mind. Be disciplined about what it is that you dwell on. Switch over to the victory channel. Remember when you met the love of your life. Remember when your first child was born. Remember when you got that new position. Remember when that problem suddenly turned around. Remember the peace that you felt when you suddenly lost a loved one. Remember the strength out of weakness in that difficult time. Remember the darkness and how light came penetrating through. Remember how after the morning, joy re-arrived. And today you're happy, you're healthy, you're strong. Every one of us should have our memorial stones. Prabhupada says here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, quote, "We can practically see how the devotees who have dedicated their lives for the service of the Lord in the Krishna consciousness movement are getting immense opportunities for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Krishna consciousness movement actually started with only 40 rupees. That's $7. But now it has more than 40 crores worth of property. And all this opulence has been achieved within 8 or 10 years. This is a quote from 75. No fruitive worker can expect to improve his business so swiftly. And besides that, whatever a fruitive worker acquires is temporary and sometimes frustrating. In Krishna or God consciousness, however, everything is encouraging and improving." So let's bring up those memorial stones in our lives. I remember in my own life, in 1975, I was able to purchase the Melbourne Temple in Australia, which is still the headquarters down there. In 1978, when I was president of the San Francisco Temple, we had 20,000 people on a cold and blustery day attend our annual Jagannath Rath Yatra Parade in Golden Gate Park. And it was featured as the headlines in the San Francisco Chronicle the next Monday morning. I remember 1987 when we first constructed this log building about 100 yards from here and started having our services 32 years ago in what was the living room. I remember June 23rd, 2001, when we had the ceremony to open this temple. And Gary Herbert was a speaker. Orrin Hatch was here as well. I remember 5 years ago when we were able to purchase a 4-acre property in a school right downtown in Salt Lake City. We're going to be able to construct a temple there as well. in a few weeks' time, on July 10th, we're having the groundbreaking ceremony for that. This September 24th, we'll celebrate our 30th annual Festival of India. I remember, due to the early successes of the Festival in Colors in Spanish Fork, how we wanted to take that festival on the road and make the experience available to young people in other states. So I went up to Linden to Christensen's used truck sales, and for $17,000, I bought a medium six diesel engine International 24-foot box truck. We put our tents and our stage, and we attempted our first festival in Los Angeles, California. Drove down there. It was a successful festival. With less than 1,000 new miles on the truck, on the way back in Baker, California, the engine absolutely just exploded, never to run a mile again. I had bought the truck for $17,000. McCandless Truck in Las Vegas offered to replace it with a secondhand diesel engine for $27,000. I thought, wow, maybe I was expecting the wrong thing. Maybe I heard the Lord wrong. Maybe I was hoping in a wrong direction. We didn't really have the money, but we put it together. We replaced the engine. That was 3 years ago. That truck has gone more than 30,000 miles. It's done 30 festivals in three different states. Each of the last 3 years, we've gotten more than 100,000 young people to chant enthusiastically, exuberantly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When I am tempted to get depressed, I just have to go back and review my memory stones. We just need to change what we're remembering. Remember our successes, our victories, the times when it seemed like everything was dark, but God turned it around and we were able to overcome. This will allow you to step into new levels of favor. You may be in tough times, facing challenges, but when you remember the right things, you won't be saying, this problem is too big, this sickness is going to be the end of me. Instead, you'll be saying, God, you did it for me once, I know you can do it for me again. Instead of dwelling on how impossible it is and how you'll never make it, remember your victories throughout the day. Get your memorial stones out. Lord, thank you for that time when the odds were against me and you turned it around. I remember when you promoted me, vindicated me, when you made my wrongs right. In 2007, a young lady named Rachel Smith won the Miss America Beauty pageant, a very bright girl who had traveled the world helping underprivileged children. Later that year, she represented America in the Miss Universe Beauty pageant. As she was walking on the stage during the evening gown competition, she lost her footing on the slick floors and fell right on her backside. Millions of people around the world were watching on television. She was so embarrassed. She got up as quickly as she could and kept a smile on her face. The audience wasn't very forgiving. There were jeers and laughs and boos. It was very humiliating. In spite of that fall, Rachel made it to the top five semifinalists. She had to go up and answer a question randomly chosen from a hat. She walked out again to the same spot where she'd fallen just a few minutes earlier. She pulled a question out of the hat with millions of people watching and read it. If you could relive and redo any moment of your life again, what moment would that be? She had just experienced the most embarrassing moment of her life 20 minutes earlier. How many of us would have said, I'd like to relive that moment when I fell on this stage. I'd like to do that over again. But without missing a beat, she said, if I could relive anything again, I would relive my trip to Africa, working with the orphans, seeing their beautiful smiles, feeling their warm hugs. What happened there? Instead of reliving a moment of embarrassment, a moment of pain, Rachel chose to replay a moment of joy, where she was making a difference, where she was proud of herself. Now, we all fall down in our lives, figuratively and literally. We all make mistakes. We all have embarrassing, unfair moments. You can be sure these images will want to replay again and again and again on the movie screen of your mind. But you got to put your foot down and do as Rachel Smith did. Change the channel and put on your victories, put on your successes, put on your accomplishments? Are you too forgetful of all the things that God has done for you? Have you let what once was a miracle become ordinary? It doesn't excite you anymore. You need to look back over your life and remember your victories, big and small. You'll know that if God did it for you once, He'll do it for you again. We're all tempted to get discouraged and think, I don't see how I'll ever get out of this problem. I don't see how I'll ever get out of debt. I don't see how I'll ever get my health back again. But when that happens, go back and remember the red seas that God has parted in your life. Remember the enemies that He's delivered you from. Remember the battles that He's fought on your behalf, the restoration, the vindication. Remember the favor that He's shown. Every one of us can look back and see the hand of God on our lives. He's opened doors that never should have opened for you. He's helped you accomplish things that you could have never accomplished on your own. He's brought you out of difficulties that you thought you would never survive. He's protected, He's promoted, and He's given you opportunities. Now, the key to staying encouraged is to never forget what He's done. Scripture says we should tell our children and our grandchildren. We should pass down from generation to generation stories about the greatness of God. Are you facing giants today? Does your problem look too big? Your dreams seem impossible. You need to get your memory stones out. Instead of going around discouraged and thinking it's never going to work out, start dwelling on your victories. Start thinking about how you killed the giants, the lions, and the bears in your own life. Start remembering how God has brought you out. Rehearse the times He opened doors, gave you promotions, helped your family members, and put you in the right places with the right people. Don't forget your victories. On a regular basis, go back over your memorial stones and read the victories that you have experienced in your life. When these negative memories tend to pop up and they come to all of us, the things that don't work out, our hurts, our failures, our disappointments, remember, that's not the only channel. Get your remote out and switch to the victory channel. Expect breakthroughs. Expect problems to turn around. Expect to rise to new levels. You have your greatest victories ahead of you. You have not yet accomplished your greatest dreams. There are new mountains to climb, new horizons to explore. Don't let disappointment steal your passion. Don't let the way someone treated you sour you on life. God is still in control. It may not have happened in the past, but it can happen in the future. Draw a line in the sand and say, that's it. I'm done with low expectations. I'm not settling for mediocrity. I'm going to expect favor, increase, and promotion. I'm going to expect blessings to chase me down. I'm going to expect 2016 to be my best year so far. My message today is that if you raise your level of expectancy, Krishna or God will take you places that you never dreamed. He'll open doors that no man can shut. He'll help you overcome obstacles that looked insurmountable. You will experience His above and beyond goodness in this life, and in the next life, go back home, back to Godhead.